Joining us on the line is Ali Carga. Very good morning. How are you?
Ah, very strong. Thank you. Not too cold today.
No, not bad at all. Well, weather-wise, and that I guess also depends on if you've got backup generation, but that's another subject for another time. So, Alec, I'm very, very excited that you will be, people will be able to hear you 7 p.m. on Monday evenings here on Chai FM. Very, very exciting. What I'd love to hear from you is what people can expect from that hour.
Sure. If we go back a little bit, I started business radio in South Africa in 1997, which feels like another age, but did it for 15 years and then decided I'd had enough of the grind, the live broadcasting from 6 to 7 on various stations. And then we took a break to the UK for 3 years, came back 2 years ago, and I've been resisting it all the time to go back into radio. And then earlier this year decided, hang on, it might be time now to try and do things differently. We played around a little bit. Business has now got to quite a good size. We have people, a team here in Johannesburg, the people in Cape Town, office in the UK as well. And we thought that the podcasting world was great, but actually radio is still very much where it's at. And then that's actually where it all came from. Hard. And 3 months ago, Fine Music Radio said they'd broken up with Classic FM. Would we be interested in taking over a show there? We moved quickly, did so. And it just didn't work on the basis of doing it live every night. So essentially what we're doing now is we're packaging through the day, the main news stories, the business news stories, and then compiling it and are delighted to be on Chai FM from Monday. So we'll deliver the product, and you guys then stream it out at 7 o'clock, and we'll have all the best news, all the freshest news that is available in the normal style. I know that independence is claimed by everybody, but it doesn't always get kind of translated. But we're independent.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, and that to me, I have to tell you, is the most exciting thing. And I've been on a rant this week because I am more and more disappointed by what we're seeing, what I'm observing in the media. There seems to be, there's almost like a script that people are told to follow, and we're not questioning, we're not asking the probing questions. We accept the biggest nonsense that is so clearly and patently, obviously false. We don't interrogate things. We've been caught up in a culture of wokeness that we're scared to comment outside of that, just in case we get a slap on the wrist. And I think we're heading towards a very, very dangerous point. Maybe we're heading towards a turning point. That's what I'm hoping. But you have always been somebody who's bucked that trend. You haven't just swallowed whatever you've been fed. Am I right? And that couldn't have been easy.
No, but I think what makes it possible is that this is my business. With MoneyWeb, which I started in 1997 and listed in 99, we were a public company. And although we continued along an independent path, there were other pressures. Whereas BizNews, which I started in 2013 after leaving MoneyWeb the year before, it's my company, my business. And as a consequence, the woke police cannot fire me. They can't actually do anything to me, which I think gives me that ability to pursue the journalistic principles, which I grew up with, which are give both sides of the story, even if the side of the story that you're giving isn't one that you personally agree with, because maybe it's just your ignorance that makes it you're at a point where you don't agree with it yet. And that is what we continue to pursue at BizNews. And you'll see it in the programming. You'll hear it as we come through every night. It's, you know, what's the real story? Why are we hearing these communications from people in power? Why are we not questioning people in power? Why are we not holding them to account? But in a sensible approach rather than
shrill,
you know, gotcha kind of journalism. That's not what I've ever believed in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we respect the intelligence of our community. Mm-hmm. And we understand that they know a heck of a lot more than we do about the subjects that are closest to their heart. And all they need to know, or all they need from us, is exposing to new ideas, new thoughts, perhaps different insights. And they can make up their own minds. We're not going to tell you what you should be thinking. We'd rather suggest to you that this is what so-and-so, who we think is an expert in the field, what their views, insights, opinions, and what the facts are.
Mm. And it's all about the facts. And again, what I'm seeing and observing is a level of hysteria and shrill reporting that we get so caught up in these emotive stories, but we don't interrogate and we don't push a point to try and understand what it's about, without going, as you said, for the gotcha moments, because that's also a bit silly. What I find over and over again is people that I interview on the show is that they enjoy coming on to the show because I'm allowing them to actually put their view forward. I'll question it, and of course I will, but we want to hear what they have to say. The point isn't to catch them out. I've never understood that approach to interviewing anybody.
Yeah, you're so right. I think it all stems from a need for those doing the interviewing to become famous, if you like, to grab the headlines, to do something that others in the industry will be talking about, and talking about them and how clever they've been. Whereas that's not what we're about. We're facilitators. Journalists are not the story. Journalists are the facilitators who get information from those who actually know to those who want to know.
Absolutely, absolutely right. And I'm greatly looking forward to it. So what do you cover in terms of, is it South African, international? What's your general focus?
Well, we have a partnership with the Wall Street Journal, which has been phenomenal for us. That's actually the greatest dividend of the 3 years that I spent in London, was being able to get to know the Wall Street Journal people, and we brought that partnership to our community. So we kind of plugged into that. We do follow then what's happening internationally, because that does impact on what happens here in South Africa. But we know our audience is South African. 80% of business readers are based in South Africa. The other 20% are diaspora. Many people who immigrated and so on, they like to keep in touch with our country. We do look at investment. We look at economics, but not the boring stuff. When there is politics that impact the country, like corruption, we talk often to a guy like Paul O'Sullivan, for instance.
Right.
But I guess you could think that with a David Shapiro and Stephen Nathan and Magnus Haystack and Piet Viljoen as co-hosts, it's rational. It's looking at the financial world and how that impacts us and how we can act upon it rather than being acted upon. I'm trying to stay away from COVID. From time to time, we've run COVID interviews. Mm-hmm. It's just so dividing. So I'd rather not. We do that on business. There's plenty of stuff on business.
Sure.
But when it comes to broad audiences, everybody seems to have their own views. I actually wrote a piece this morning saying that I now understand why the one group just won't listen to the other group and vice versa. There's fault lines there that we can't overcome. But for the rest, we really do follow the South African story. We try and make the business news, as it impacts our lives, more understandable, and we question. Exactly as you said earlier, Harvard, you've got to question people and get to the real, get beyond the agenda, get beyond what the PR people have told them, and get to the stuff that actually makes sense, the authenticity, so that we can all actually benefit from it.